We're chatting with your all-decade quarterback, first-team all-decade quarterback, Bo Levi Mitchell joins us on the program today. We talked to you a few weeks ago, and you're like, I don't know if they're going to vote for me. I don't know if the fans are going to have my back, but here you are. You're the first-team all-decade quarterback in the CFL. How's that feel?
It's pretty cool, man. I mean, I don't know how many times they've ever done something like this, but just Leo Vegas and CFL putting this thing on is a cool idea, and get the fans involved during the offseason and, media and everything. So appreciate everybody that did vote. Definitely feel blessed. But, like I told you, I think that was like 2 weeks ago, just to have, Ricky Ray and Wally Buono kind of give me that nod was enough compliment itself. So feel pretty blessed. And it's awesome because it just shows the work that me and my teammates have put in over the last 8 years, just together and everything we've done. Have anybody on this list from any of our teams is special, and to be a part of it, to be the quarterback named for it is definitely obviously very special, and hopefully I can be in the conversation in another decade.
What about Ricky Ray specifically and him kind of giving you that endorsement a number of months ago? What was so special about that in particular?
Well, I mean, I think there's just certain guys that within the game that, whether it's your position or other positions or, coaching or management-wise, that you just have certain respect for by the way they carry themselves and the way they've handled themselves throughout their career. He's just one of those guys that he's always handled himself, like a champion, and definitely, obviously, one of the GOATs of the game. And, I think the amount of battles that we've had together and obviously the Grey Cup was, a big one in that, watching how he, overcame everything that he had over the past couple of years before that to come back and win a Grey Cup in a city that hadn't done it in a while was obviously really special to even be a part of. But, obviously even being on the losing end of it, it's cool to see, good people do well. And the funny thing about him is, whenever I first heard about the CFL, I Googled it. And the first thing that came up was Ricky Ray and him throwing for, almost 6,000 yards in one of his seasons, and I instantly I was like, oh man, if you can throw for over 5,000 yards, I want to be up there. So it was one of the first things I ever saw. I didn't know who Ricky Ray was, but obviously found out a lot about the guy. And, he's done a lot of amazing things in his career, and it's just pretty cool to, hear him put you in that same sentence as guys that have been doing it, so well for so long. But it's a guy I have a lot of respect for, and he does things a little bit differently than a lot of other guys.
So take me back to when you're finishing up your college career in Eastern Washington. And look, you take a look back at your time in college. You were a highly touted quarterback, and I know that it didn't work out in the NFL draft. But at that time, what did you know about the CFL? How much was it on your radar back in, I guess that would have been 2012?
Yeah, so probably like 10, 11 more. I'm at Eastern Washington, and we have the championship season my junior year. And my head coach, Bo Baldwin, starts to let me know about the CFL. He's like, hey, man, your DB coach, Torrey Hunter, played there. It's a great league. And really, the extent of my knowledge about it came more from J.C. Sherrod and Matt Nichols and Greg Peach all coming up here. They were all on my teams previously. And, I watched Matt in preseason with the Cowboys, and I thought he outplayed Stephen McGee at the time, but Stephen McGee had gotten like $1 million signing bonus after getting drafted in like the fourth or fifth round or something like that. And, we were all pretty in pretty big shock when Matt didn't make the team with the Cowboys after the way he had played in the preseason. So he actually went up to the CFL. And so my senior year, I'm following it. And my head coach, Bo Baldwin, and I are driving to an alumni dinner. And he's like, hey, man, just so you know, where they're projecting you in the draft as far as, that fifth, sixth, seventh, late round guy, possibly, a free agent signing, an undrafted free agent. He's like, I just think that you should really consider the CFL. It's a great game for you with a big arm, and you can make all the throws, make all the reads. And I think it'd be a smart idea for you to start CFL. And if you want to try to work your way up, you do that rather than, going to an NFL camp and then you're a camp arm and then you get cut and now you're trying to find a home. He's like, I think if you kind of consider CFL first, give them a chance to where you have a home right away and then you make a name for yourself, I think it's a better route. And, I pray and just feel really blessed to have a guy like that, be in my corner. And You know, if that conversation never happens, then I might not be standing here right now and having this conversation with you. So Bo Baldwin was definitely a big part of that. Zach Hill, my quarterback coach in college, was a big part of it, just, you know, making sure that I was always ready. But, yeah, man, that's kind of how the CFL even came about for me.
Bo Levi Mitchell is with us. He is your first-team all-decade quarterback in the Canadian Football League. So you arrive here in 2012. You sign with the Calgary Stampeders. And I remember instantly, like within a few weeks, you were talking about how you wanted to be the best quarterback the CFL has ever seen. And you're like, who is this punk from Texas that all of us... And yet, that's kind of the type of attitude, the type of motivation that's driven you throughout your entire career. Tell us a little bit more about kind of how you were approaching things right from the get-go.
Yeah, I mean, I go off of the tryout down in Florida at IMG Academy, and Dave is showing us some film of the current team, and I'm watching Drew. And at the time, I didn't know it was Drew Tate, because obviously I had known who Drew Tate was. If you're from Texas, then you've heard the name All-State Drew Tate. You know, he had a lot of records down in Texas and had come out not that long before me. So, I didn't even ask him who the starting quarterback was. I just told him, I said, you know, Dave, whoever your starting quarterback is, man, I'm coming to take his job. And he's like, I don't know, man. He's like, this, you know, he just took Henry Burris' job. And obviously at that time, I didn't know who Henry was either. So I didn't know a lot of the history behind it. But, you know, I think it was just more, that's the confidence that's always been in myself. And, you know, I wasn't that successful in football until I gained that confidence in myself. And so I think once I had seen, you know, where confidence could take me, you know, I never wanted to let that go. And honestly, it's been a great thing for me at times and a bad thing. You know, I mean, that confidence and that arrogance, you know, teetering that line at times is a big reason why I didn't get a job, you know, down south in the NFL. You know, just coming out of the Vikings, you know, conversation and everything, you know, they wanted me to do something different. And that attitude that I had of, you know, me wanting to take a job is part of that reason. But I just always have to stay true to myself, man. Just kind of continue to be the guy that I am. And if that was, you know, something that somebody wanted in a quarterback, then I was there for you. But not, then it wasn't. So, you know, I'm just lucky that, you know, I've kind of won Dave and Huff over of having that attitude and, you know, carrying that confidence about myself and just making sure I do it correctly.
You got a couple of snaps, a few snaps in your first year, and then year two, you started three games, I believe, and then going into the 2014 season, your name starter of the team. We all know what happened. You end up winning the Grey Cup that year, but as a first-time starter, did you expect the starting job as quickly as it came? I mean, we're talking about 2 years, and bam, you're on top of the depth chart. Was that something that you were expecting, or did it come a little quickly even for you?
You know, I think anybody that gets to this level, they've been a starter damn near where they've ever been. You know, I won the job at SMU as a true freshman, and took it from an entrenched starter that was a junior and then, you know, came to Eastern and got the job. You know, so I think my plan was to kind of get the job as fast as I possibly could and never really be scared of the moment. I think that's the thing that scared me a lot, is just never being scared of that opportunity or that big moment when you actually got it. So I think the one thing is that I was ready to be the starter the day I walked in, and then after going through the playbook and going through film, starting to realize really the nuances of the CFL and understanding where I stood and how I had to adapt my game a little bit. I knew it would probably take me a little more time to be the successful player I wanted to be. So really just, you know, everything in practice became me competing against myself to get better and actually get better at those weaknesses that I had when it came to the CFL game. You know, once I got my chance to actually get in a couple plays, whether it was, you know, third string quarterback doing short yardage stuff, or even, you know, that first year when Drew got hurt and Kev was the guy, it was coming in doing some running plays, which in my entire career I've never done. it was just getting those opportunities, man. And I think getting that opportunity to become the starter, it came at the perfect time. It came at the time where I felt like I was ready mentally. I knew I was ready physically, but I was finally ready mentally to understand the game. And I think just having Dave on my side to, you know, kind of slowly progress me into the starter and not trying to throw the entire playbook and put me in the fire, but really letting me run the plays that I was able to be successful at. And then as I got better and better, you know, expanding that playbook, I think a lot of the credit has to go to Dave and Huff on how they handle that situation and just their ability to really, you know, not only create but just kind of progress quarterbacks in the proper way is a big part of it.
You go 15-3 that first year, and I know you missed a few games because you were injured in the middle of the season, but the team goes 15-3. You march to the Grey Cup and you beat Hamilton at BC Place that year. Just take us back to 2014, your first championship game in professional ball, and your overall approach to that, because you talked about how you felt like you were ready to be a starter to start the season. How ready were you for your first Grey Cup appearance?
Man, I was so ready for it. You know, I've been in championship games at every single level that I've ever been in. And, you know, there was a game playing against Toronto earlier on, the first game of the first or second game of the year. I want to say it was the first. And John Murphy, one of the guys that brought me in, he texted me before the game, said, you know, this is why we brought you here, because Calgary had trouble against Toronto the past few years before that, just with Chad Owens and Ricky. He said, you know, we brought you here to win games like this. And I replied and said, no. I said, I'm going to win this game, but you brought me here to win a Grey Cup. And that was the first game of that 2014 season. And I think that I myself knew that the moment we got there, I was ready for it. And it was a moment that I've been preparing for my entire life, was to, you know, win a championship at the professional level. So it was definitely a lot easier having the team that we had. I mean, the O-line we had was just absolutely ridiculous. And those guys kept me upright, you know, the entire season. I barely ever got touched. The only reason I got injured on one play, you know, earlier on in the season against Toronto, was actually holding on to the ball in a three-step quick game. And then trying to scramble up into the pocket, and Shea Emery just kind of hit me and twisted me up. But, you know, just when it came to that championship game, it was one of those where I felt so confident, just so calm about what was going to happen, and just kind of knew it. The right things would fall into place as long as I was prepared. And I felt like everybody in the team felt that exact same way, man. That 2014 team was very, very special. And, it was just almost felt easy at the time, you know, even though it was such a close game and so many things could have happened. The outcome could have been different without that penalty for sure. But, you know, I think that when you prepare the way you want to and you feel confident, man, just kind of the game comes easy to you.
Bo Levi Mitchell is with us, your all-decade quarterback, first-team all-decade quarterback in the CFL. 2 years later, you lose, and you lose again the next year. Those two losses, was that a wake-up call? Was that something that lit an even larger fire in you? Now looking back and knowing that you also won in 2018 and you've got a pair of Grey Cup rings. Now those two losses to Ottawa and Toronto, how did they change or alter your approach to football?
Yeah, I mean, I would actually say the 2016 one was the most eye-opening kind of, you know, waking up moment and humbling experience for sure. You know, I think we all got a little bit. I don't even know the word I want to use for it, but in pregame we all started hearing the rumors of Henry going down, and you know, at that moment, you feel bad for a guy as a quarterback. And in my mind, I was like, I was kind of pissed off because I wanted to play, you know, the guy. I wanted to play the best. And at the time, that was him. And, you know, so I was kind of mad. And everybody's telling me, like, hey, you know, Trevor's probably going to start, blah, blah, blah. And so I think a lot of guys started to get a little bit overconfident because we already, obviously, you know, we were in the media. We felt confident about that game. And, you know, we had one of the best seasons in CFL history. So I think we all felt very, very confident. But, the problem is, you know, when you have so many guys that made plays all year, I think we all kind of just expected each other to make plays. And there were times I'm just throwing the ball up, expecting my receivers to go make these plays that they had made all year, but I'm not putting them in very good situations, throwing into double and triple coverage and, you know, really testing the ball downfield when that's exactly what Ottawa wanted. They were just, you know, sitting there waiting for it. So, you know, when Henry came out of the tunnel that day and, you know, started sprinting out there, I think it was almost like a shock to some of the guys and everybody, you know, maybe kind of tightened up a little bit. And when we fell behind because of the way I was playing there in the beginning, you know, I think guys at that moment finally locked in, but it was definitely a moment to say, you know, hey man, like no matter how prepared you are and how good your team is, like, and it's the same old adage that Dave and Huff had always implemented us or instilled in us, you know, our entire lives or our entire careers, was anybody in the CFL could win on any given day. And you know, those 2 years in a row, we got beat by, I think, I know Toronto was 9-9. I want to say Ottawa had a losing record. I want to say they were 8-10.
I believe they were 8-10. Yep.
Yeah, so, I mean, it just goes to show, man, like, you know, I lost 2 years in a row to, you know, to Henry and to Ricky, and I think that was a good thing for me, a good thing for our team. Was, you know, obviously we would have loved to win those, but it proved positive when it came to 2018 was, you know, not giving anything up or taking anything for granted. It's just understanding that, man, you've got to show up and give your absolute best to beat anybody in this league. And, you know, it was a way to learn. I wish I could have learned in a different game, but, you know, it was definitely something that's going to stay with my entire career and, you know, one day prove positive.
The two head coaches on these all-decade teams, first team head coach is Huff, second team head coach is Dave. Just tell me how cool that is to be part of this group and have both your head coaches be honored like that.
Yeah, I mean, you can see why. It's very well deserved. I mean, being you know, under the tutelage of these guys, it's one of the coolest things in the world to sit there. If you're a football fan, if you're a football junkie like myself, just sit there and listen to these two talk football. Let these two talk about a play or a coverage in front of you. And you'll just sit there in silence. You don't want to talk. You know, I mean, as much football as I know, sit there and get to listen to these two guys speak. It's like, you know, it'd be like sitting there listening to Belichick and Brady talk about something. It's just, it's very, very special. It's something that these guys have done their entire lives, and these moments have led up to this. And you know, they are very, very deserving of it because I've seen, you know, firsthand what they can do for a player, what they can do for an entire team. And to not skip a beat when it went from, you know, the success that Huff had to the success that Dave had in the first year, it carried on, and him having to go through the Grey Cup losses, you know, right there in the beginning of the career, and now we finally got him one. You know, it's tough, man. We've been through a lot together, but, you know, I think if you ask any player that's ever played for them, you know, they've made them better. And, you know, you wouldn't ask to play for any other coach in the league, I can tell you that.
Final thought, here you are, you're the first team all-decade quarterback. You have said you want to be the best quarterback that has ever played in the Canadian Football League. Do you feel like you're on the right path as it stands right now?
I mean, it's an opportunity. You know, I think I have always said that because, you know, if I'm not setting my sights for the absolute highest goal, then to me, I don't really know why I'd be playing the game. You know, I don't want to, you know, if there's a guy out there like, I'm just here to win a Grey Cup or I'm here to, you know, one day do this, it doesn't make sense to me. It's just not how my mind and my body operate. If I'm not trying to, you know, be better than Flutie or Moon or, you know, Dave or anybody, Ray, you know, all these guys, if I'm not trying to be better than them, then why am I out here doing this? So no matter where on that list and in somebody's opinion that I fall, I got to give my all, and that's kind of the way that I carry myself.
Congratulations, my man. That's a really cool honor to be the first team all decade quarterback. Well deserved, but congrats. Thanks for doing this, Bo.
Yeah, man, appreciate it. Always awesome talking to you, brother.